good Monday morning, and it certainly is in Jacksonville, where the 8-4 Jaguars are coming off a 30-10 win over the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. Welcome to Jags Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan with you here on TuneIn Radio and across social media. We've got a half an hour full of Jaguars conversation for you, so let's welcome in our broadcast partner, John Osier.
I'm a broadcast partner.
You are now. Yeah,
do I get full share as a partner?
Playoff share?
No.
But you're welcome to say anything you'd like over the next half hour about the Jaguars in the National Football League.
Well, I was wrong.
About
first
what?
Of all, I thought the game would be close.
Oh, and I just didn't. And I was not going to hammer you on that. I'm glad that you stepped up.
Yeah, you
to
would.
It. No, I was going to be subtle. I was going to say, you know, it was a close game in the fourth quarter. Only
that's
20
how people
points.
Think of you. You know, subtle.
Like a sledgehammer.
Right. Yeah, you're really
like
are.
A sledgehammer. Last week we got them on different sides, which, by the way, is what you do, mm-hmm. You know. I didn't see the Colts as being talented enough to be able to stick with the Jaguars. I was stunned that they ran for 141 yards. I want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. In fact, as important a win as it was, as big a win as it was, setting up a huge showdown next Sunday against Seattle, this morning the thing that concerns me is that Frank Gore, who's 34 years old, seemed to find plenty of room to run. I get Jacoby Brissett.
He's a smart runner.
Yeah, he is a smart runner. But 141 yards for the Colts, that's a bit alarming. Combine that with the fact that the Jaguars didn't run the ball very well, and you have their personality sort of slipping a bit on Sunday. Now, we'll transfer real quick. Here's the great news. Boy, Blake Bortles was really good.
Well, and that's what was impressive was the Jaguars won that game the other day. And the reason I thought it was going to be close was I didn't expect the Jaguars – to play as well on big moments as they did. Blake Bortles was phenomenal for three quarters on third down. I think he was 8 of 10 with two touchdowns on third down. Those third down plays in the first half, both touchdowns come on third down.
Right.
Those go the other way. They're incomplete or the receivers don't make the plays as they had been doing leading up to that. All of a sudden that 16-3 lead at halftime is a 10-3 lead, and then you have more of the game that I anticipated. So the Jaguars outplayed my expectations on key situations because they hadn't been doing it until Sunday. I think it's a good sign they did.
Well, once again, the defense rose to the occasion. For whatever their failings were in the run game yesterday, Jalen Ramsey baited Jacoby mm-hmm. Brissett beautifully on that second quarter interception. And then, of course, Deshaun Gibson, who has made play after play after play this year, came through with a big one. Anytime the defense was really, truly challenged by the Colts, which was infrequent, they came through with the play.
Well, you keep talking about the defense, and in the NFL, I get your concern over the running game, and I will get to that. But even teams that are struggling are at times going to find windows and have success. The Colts had some success. The great defenses, which the Jaguars are turning into, find moments in a game that a play is there and they take advantage of it. And that's what the Jalen Ramsey thing felt like. They had given up a drive. They were getting close at the end of the first half. It was 16-3, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Boye had given up some stuff on the other side that I get the feeling they were giving to try to keep things in front of them. But it was getting close. And you thought, boy, if they get a touchdown here, 16-10, turns into more of the game I was thinking about. And then Jalen makes the big play, the big play. Should have had 5 sacks yesterday. I thought Ngakoue got one taken away from him. Shouldn't have. Overall, I thought the defense played well, doing its thing, which is the big game-turning play. That's what this defense is so good at right now.
Before we introduce Ashlyn, I don't think I'm giving away any trade secrets here. I read your stories, and I help by editing your stories in the evening.
Right.
And so I kept reading the word workmanlike, workmanlike, workmanlike mm-hmm. in your stuff. Do you want to explain that?
Well,
how did you term
I wasn't very creative, so I just kept using it over and over again was the thing. So
I wasn't going to hammer you
kind
again.
Kind of my M.O.
No. But you generally get a hammer and a nail, and you pound it.
Sure.
And the story was workmanlike because it was a good win. It was a nearly 3-touchdown win.
Well, for
but
Bortles,
it wasn't a
it
dominant
was spectacular.
Win. Right.
But, and for the receivers, it was absolutely critical that they have a game like that, even beyond the touchdowns. Keelan Cole catches the one down the sidelines for 30 yards. You could easily see that having been a drop in the past. Mercedes Lewis makes a couple of plays. But at the end of the game, as you said, there were things on the defense that weren't great. They didn't run the ball great. It didn't feel like that spectacular 10-sack game. It didn't feel like Baltimore over in London where it was just wow, or after the game, you were seeing SportsCenter highlights, or the national media was rushing to, you know, it didn't feel like that sort of game. It just felt like one where, okay, it's 10-0, it's 16-3, it's getting close. Okay, made the big play here, 24-3, 24-10, gets close, and then all of a sudden, good workmanlike drive to pull it 27-10, 30-10. Not letting it get tight, not letting it get dramatic, just sort of doing what you had to do against a team you were supposed to beat, doing it at home. It's easy to say taking care of business after it happens, but doing it is not always easy.
All right. Ashlyn Sullivan joins us this morning. Good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. You have, I'm not giving away any trade secrets here, you have a unique perspective on home games. You're behind the bench. Mm-hmm. What did you sense from this football team as they, you know, pounded out the win, and it looks handy when you see the score, but it didn't always feel that way. It felt like, you know, the Jaguars had work to do.
Right, and you talked about how the Jags lost their personalities, especially in the fourth quarter. So 27-10, the offense is sitting on the bench, starting from the wide receivers all the way down to the end of the offensive line. Coach DeMarone walks up, and Max and I are behind the bench, and we sense him coming. He's going to say something big, and a few words we can't see on the radio, but he basically said that they lost their lackluster, they lost their personalities, and he wanted to shove this win down their throats. And it was cool because he wasn't happy with a 27-10 win. He wanted to put more points on the board, which I thought was awesome, especially with a Seattle team coming to town next weekend.
Yeah, he never minces words.
No.
He's got a strong opinion, and he may not share it when he sits with us on Friday, but on the field, he has very distinct words for his team.
Well, I think he knows from experience, you know, it's great to beat that team, but, you know, this has been a team that at times this year has gone one victory, one loss, one victory, one loss. And he knows right now at 8-4, you know, he knows there's going to be a lot of talk this week after the game. Okay, the Jaguars are very close to the playoffs. All they have to do is win a couple of more. Well, Doug knows that within the all they have to do, they actually have to do it. And it's not easy. And you've got games that are out in San Francisco, which isn't going to be easy. The Texans, which you can say what you want. I mean, it's going to be a tougher game. I've seen reason.
We saw what Tom Savage did yesterday. You bet.
So I think he knows there's no reason just because you're up in that game yesterday to get this feeling of, whew, you know, we're 8-4. We've clinched that non-losing season. Boy, we've won three in a row. We're doing great. I think it was – I wasn't there, but I would imagine it was just more of a, hey, this is not the time in early December to start smiling and patting yourself on the back.
All right, let's go back to Ashlyn and grab our first big thing of the day before we take a first break of the day. And Ashlyn, what's on your list?
The performance of number 5, and you guys said how he had a spectacular day, and he did, and stats showed it. 26 of 35, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. But despite the stats, when you watch him on the sidelines, he looked like he was having fun and he was relaxed. When Keelan Cole caught that first NFL touchdown, he went up to him and hugged him and said, "It's about time you caught one." He was joking around the whole day, and it looked like he was relaxed and knew he was performing well.
You know, the thing that stood out to me was how comfortable he was throwing the ball to D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole. He had to be. That was pretty much, besides Marquise Lee, all he had. But he got into a rhythm, and he trusted them on Sunday, and they came through.
Poise. And I haven't always used that word with Blake, and most people wouldn't. I thought yesterday he seemed as in command, as poised, as confident, knowing where he wanted to go with the ball. Certainly it had to have relaxed him when his receivers start making plays for him. The Marquise Lee ball in the middle of the field, one-handed catch was maybe the best catch Marquise has had here, and he's had a lot of spectacular ones. When you sense that your receivers are getting it done, it's got to relax you. But there were moments, the back shoulder play to Marquise down the right sidelines. The pass to Westbrook, 22 yards down the left sidelines, where it just felt like, even though an observer's expectations might have been a little bit of a hold-your-breath moment for Blake, because you've gotten used to that over the years, he never felt yesterday like he was holding his breath. He felt like he was playing, like he was comfortable. And it was the most in command I've ever seen.
He was aware. Mm-hmm. That's the best way, I think, to describe it from my perspective on the sidelines. Second half, he dumped the ball off on third and goal from about the 6-yard line. He dumped it off to Chris Ivory, and he immediately grabbed his helmet in his hands because he missed Mercedes Lewis, who had gotten open, and he dumped it off just a little too quickly. And, of course, Ivory was tackled at the 5-yard right. line, and they settled for a field goal. But as he threw the ball, he realized, I should have thrown it to Mercedes.
Maybe in the same play. There was one down near the goal line. where I think he also knew he could have run in.
Right.
And may have been the same play. But, yeah, I mean, you've heard for the last few weeks about his awareness and his command of this offense going up, and it hasn't quite jived with what's going on the field. Maybe it was the interceptions at the end of the game. Maybe it was the fact the receivers weren't making plays. But you've been hearing that he really knows what's going on in the offense. He's very comfortable, and it hadn't translated. You heard Doug Marrone talk after the game, how happy he was that what they had seen in practice translated to the game for the first time. I get that it's the Colts, and I get that he's sort of owned them in the past. But there was something different on the touchdown to Marquise early, how he was going to run, and then he saw Marquise break, and then he made the right throw. That stuff, decision-making stuff that he hasn't done in the past, we'll see if it continues.
Besides awareness, he also had accuracy yesterday. He put the ball where it needed
He's
to be.
He's been more accurate the last 3 or 4 weeks.
All right.
It's been improving.
More to come here on Jags Drive Time. When we return after this quick 60-second timeout, Ashlyn rejoins us with big thing number 2. We've also got big thing number 3 in case you're interested. Ozone Snapshot, Jags Drive Time on a peppy Monday morning around Jacksonville as Jaguars fans are enjoying their 8-4 first-place Jags.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Going to be a beautiful day in Jacksonville. Folks up and at it, following the Jaguars, making their way to work, dropping the kids off at school. Thanks for joining us on Jags Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, and Ashlyn Sullivan, who, by the way, has big thing number 2 queued up and ready to go.
Ready to go.
We're coming all the way back across the studio to you.
Very far away. It's about the running game or lack thereof it on both sides of the ball. Leonard Fournette once again had trouble getting going. You saw his frustration. And on the defensive side of the ball, they also had trouble stopping it. And guys, when we're going into the playoffs, you got to talk about you have to get that fixed on both sides of the ball to be productive.
So, John, just from my perspective, it's great that they were able to throw the ball yesterday. And it was great to see Blake Bortles play at that level that we just talked about. But I'm not really worried about the run game. I know what that is. I know that the Colts were stacking the box yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's the run defense, that part of the Jags personality, because since Marcell Dareus arrived, they had dramatically improved. And yesterday, it appeared they regressed.
I'm sure they're worried about it. I'm not, because I got the feeling there's one of those games where they were ahead and comfortably ahead by a relatively large margin. Had the game gotten tight or had the Colts been ahead, I don't think they would have run as well. It felt like the Colts were running in situations where the Jaguars were expecting pass because they were so far up. It didn't feel ever to me like the Colts were getting back in the game by running. Running yards concern me when the other team is desperate to stop it. It never felt like the Jaguars had to worry much about stopping the run. So if it continues, I get that it'll be an issue. You would have liked to have had that small number that we could be happy about today.
Well,
I don't worry about that
much. I guess
maybe
my perspective is shaded a bit because Poslesny was on the field the whole game.
Sure.
We hadn't seen that. In fact, early on this season, I think it was you that identified the fact that teams were getting the Jaguars to take Poslesny off the field by putting an extra receiver out, forcing the nickel, and then running out of the nickel. So with Poslesny on the field with Dareus the whole game,
right?
And again, 34-year-old running backs generally don't frighten me. I figured that the Jaguars would be able to clamp down on Gore. He got a couple of runs free. It wasn't as if he was pounding out five and five and five. He had a couple of runs that pushed his total up over 60. 60, whatever. But I think I expected more because Lesney finished with 14 tackles.
Right.
A huge game for him. And they still weren't as good at stopping the run, I guess, as I thought they would be with him on the field.
I would have been far more concerned had the yards been what you just described, meaning if it had been 5, 6, 5, where you felt like, goodness, we don't have any answers for this. It felt like more burst yards that I usually attribute those when a team is ahead to, okay, we've got to stop the pass. We've got to get after this guy. If they're going to get back in it, they're going to do it by the pass. It's not good to give things, but just like with Boye at the end of the game, at the end of the first half, there are certain things that you'll give up and not focus as hard on when you're trying to commit to the pass and making sure they don't get back in the game. So, you know, obviously they're concerned about stopping the run, and I get it, and I get that you're concerned. I don't think it's going to be a long-term issue for the team.
Well, then I'm not concerned anymore either.
Well, you can be concerned. It's okay.
How about Jalen Ramsey yesterday? I mean, it doesn't factor in necessarily the run conversation here, but the play that he made baiting Brissett was something he did twice earlier this year to Joe Flacco, a Super Bowl quarterback,
yeah,
and Ben Roethlisberger. So I shouldn't be surprised by it, but it's fun to watch him play the game. I know they had the miscommunication where T.Y. Hilton got free.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Bowl receiver. That right. happens from time to time. But he just continues to impress with his absolute lockdown ability.
Well, what's interesting is you mentioned, first of all, the touchdown. And even the run defense. Let's remember, it's the NFL, and they gave up 10 points.
Yeah.
So all the things we're talking about are within the context of this defense, which is still performing at a phenomenally high level.
When 7 games this year, 10 or fewer points to their opponents.
Right.
7.
So, and I get to Jalen because he's obviously a huge part of that. Somebody asked me last week who I thought the best player in the defense was, who I'd vote for the Pro Bowl first.
Jalen.
He's without question. I get that Boye has more votes right now. Jalen's the guy that makes it all go because you know you're locking down. T.Y. Hilton's a good player.
Right.
As impressive as the interception was, and the baiting was impressive, and you saw this high level of football intelligence, even beyond that, the moves that he made after the catch on that, you're thinking, boy, I would like to see at some point when they're in a bind, him start returning punts, because otherworldly moves that you don't even think of that because we haven't seen it that often. He's, if not the best, in a short list of conversation, and he's going to be an all-pro guy 5, 6, 7 years.
He's the guy. The fans are the ones who are pushing Boye up the chart right now.
Right.
And he's played very well. He deserves the votes. But the other players are going to vote for Jalen Ramsey.
Right. Well, Boye's
and that's 2/3 of the equation for a Pro Bowl.
Boye's incredibly detailed. He's got the production. He's got the ratings and all the stats, the analytics stuff. Jalen's the guy who you simply don't throw at. And T.Y. Hilton the other day, even beyond the interception, there was a play early, I think it was in that drive, where they threw short to T.Y. Hilton. And Jalen makes up ground and basically just takes T.Y. by the jersey and just sort of tosses him out of bounds. He makes things that are hard look casual, and that's a gift.
Kind of like you.
I was going to say that, but thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I can hear Ashlyn giggling at you across the studio. When we come back, we'll check in with Ashlyn for big thing number 3. And we'll have Ozone Snapshot here on Jags Drive Time on a Monday following a 30-10 win over the Colts. Back in 60 seconds. It's a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else. We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the 5 local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Here's a look at the AFC South standings. The Titans, by virtue of their win here in Week 2, hold the half-game advantage. We all know we're coming back to the end of the season, the game in Nashville, to determine the division champion. And the Jaguars right in the thick of it. Obviously, those two teams, each Sunday, I know I was on the sidelines watching yesterday, looking to see what they were doing in their game against the Texans. Welcome back to Jags Drive Time on a Monday morning. One more segment here, and one more big thing before we get to the Ozone Snapshot, those things that John already filtering through in his inbox. So let's go back to Ashlyn, and what have you got for Big Thing 3?
We just talked about the Tennessee Titans game, and Brian, you said you were paying attention during the game, and the entire stadium was. It was on the corner TV. We kept getting red zone updates. Everyone was rooting for the Houston Texans. People were getting excited. They were definitely giving them a run for their money, but unfortunately, they got ahead of them, 24-13 final score, still in a dead first-place tie.
Yeah, and the Titans have played a couple of close games the last 2 weeks. They fought tooth and nail and came from behind to beat the Colts. And then obviously yesterday they were on the ropes midway through the third quarter. Tom Savage had a huge day, threw more than 350 yards. DeAndre Hopkins had a big day. But there's something to be said for a team that finds a way to win at the end of the ballgame.
Well, that's what they are. And it's time to stop being surprised. I don't think it's a situation where you can say, well, they're winning close, so they're not as good as we thought sort of thing. They're the team that beat this team by 21 points earlier in the season, looking way, way ahead. The X factor, of course, is the addition of Marcell Dareus makes this a significantly better run defense than it was against Tennessee. If that holds and you're doing a better job of getting that team off the field in the running game,
right,
then that matchup that I thought in week two was dramatically in favor of Tennessee becomes more of a, you know, the offensive line of the Titans against the Jaguars' defensive front in terms of stopping the run. Huge edge in week two. With Dareus, I don't think it's nearly the edge. And that evens things up in that matchup a lot.
Oh, it does. Here's the thing. The last couple of weeks, the Titans have not run the ball very well. And yesterday, when the game was on the line at the end, they pounded the ball down the field with Derrick Henry, who finished with 100 yards. Mm-hmm. So when they needed to run,
right,
they couldn't. I get it. That's a depleted defensive front.
And you would think with Dareus,
they wouldn't be able
that they would have more trouble in must-run situations. They could do it easily out here in week two. It was maybe the weakest the Jaguars' defense has looked all year was in the fourth quarter of that game. I don't anticipate that weakness being as glaring with Dareus on the field.
So here's the big picture for folks when you look at the playoffs right now. The Eagles were far and away everyone's favorite to have the one seed in the NFC, and they lost last night in Seattle, and now they're two. They go to L.A. next week. Mm-hmm. They could find themselves playing on wild card weekend. That's how fast things change in this game. As the Jaguars sit right now, they are in the five spot,
yep,
and they would be going to Kansas City for the first round of the wild card. And that may be attractive to some people the way that the Chiefs are playing right
and
now.
It's never attractive to play in Kansas City.
No. I mean, it's cold.
Just play devil's advocate. Yeah. I mean, that's
no,
a tough.
It's cold. Tough place to play.
Always a tough draw.
But the point is, things can change fast in the playoff picture, and we will be updating it every single week.
Absolutely.
Every single day.
Got to keep winning.
All right, time for Ozone Snapshot, and we go back to Ashlyn for the questions that John is getting, the things that you thought were fun, the things that we can laugh at a little bit. Hit us with it.
First one, Daniel from Jersey City. Oh, man, you have to give it to Blake Bortles. If he keeps playing like this, we can dominate.
Yeah, I mean, it was as we talked about, and I knew we'd be talking about Blake early, but I don't think you can talk about him too much today. This is a guy who, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, I think has played in spots and spurts much better than people have been giving him credit for. I think the interceptions late in Los Angeles and the Cardinals game have skewed the fact that he's playing at a high level in terms of game awareness. His legs almost brought you back against the Cardinals. His arm yesterday and the receivers making plays. If they get even a third or a half of that sort of performance offensively the rest of the way, then they have a chance in each game.
Well, we can't overstate this. D.D. Westbrook mm-hmm. played in his third game.
Right.
Keelan Cole played at Kentucky Wesleyan. Mm-hmm. Right. And he those two combined 9 catches, 128 yards, and the touchdown yesterday. I mean, it's not like he's playing with Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns from 2015. He's playing with those two guys and finding Marquise where he can.
Right.
Because defenses are working to take Marquise away. So he's got to rely on those two guys. And remember, Cole, for all the talent he's showing, was playing against Alfred State mm-hmm. at this time last
you
year.
You love the Alfred State.
I do. Yeah, I do. I'm going to hammer that.
Just locking on.
Well, if I'm Cole and I hear the Sexton guy talking about how he's playing against Alfred State, I pump my chest up.
Sure.
Yeah. Look, I can make the big jump. And he did yesterday.
Well, and he
that
said
was a
after
tremendous
the game,
catch.
Keelan said something interesting after the game. Sometimes we talk about things like drops, and they don't really talk about it as much internally as we talk about it externally. He said after the game, absolutely, drops were a big focus last week. There was extra work in the jugs machine. Right after the Cardinals game, there was a concerted effort among the receivers. Hey, that's got to stop, and it stopped yesterday.
All right. Ashton, you got another one for us?
I do, from Jay Hooks, Orange Park, Florida. Paul Puzleslie, that is all your thoughts.
Well, if you didn't feel good for Puzleslie yesterday, then you're not human. I mean, this is a guy who had his...
I was a little hacked off at him. He was supposed to do an interview with me on the field. He said, I'm not doing anything, and he ran into the locker room.
Well...
So I wasn't feeling real good about him at that point.
He would have talked to DeCandis. He loves DeCandis. But they had reduced his role coming in by necessity because you have to get Telvin Smith and Miles Jack on the field in nickel. And so it was really the first time that he had played the extensive role that he'd been used to for years. He said afterward he didn't expect it to be as hard this year to stay in the flow of the game. And he said he really felt in the flow yesterday. 14 tackles, a sack and a half,
yeah.
A pressure, a hurry. Good for him. Because if there's a guy who has sort of taken one for the team and still provided leadership, still done things the right way, all the things you're supposed to do, but it's tough to do in his situation, he's done.
Well, and truthfully, I think the reason he ran off the field and didn't want to do the interview...
Saw you coming.
Well, that's part of it. The other side, I can be intimidating like that. The other side of it was that he didn't want to make it about him.
Right.
And, you know, he talked afterwards, as everyone now knows, but that's Paul Puzleslie. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be the center of attention. He wants to be a part of the team. And yet, I knew he played a terrific game when Jalen Ramsey was asked about him, and he said, baller, it's what I expect. That's Ramsey showing respect.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else?
One more, and this is a bit of a controversy from Scott Hudman in Jacksonville. Please help me out on the roughing the passer call against the Jags in the second half where Brissett would not go down, and it took several players to finally bring him down. I didn't see a head slam, blow to the head, or anything like that. I just saw a tough quarterback that wouldn't go down. And guys, adding on to that, out of all the home games this season, I've never seen Coach Marone freak out over a call more than that one.
Yeah, maybe something in the letter of the law says that was roughing somewhere.
Was there a whistle?
Well, I'm in the press box, and in the press box, it's like you're, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's that warm place when it's cold.
Oh, it was awesome.
That cold place
when it's warm. I'm not saying it wasn't great to be in the press box. I'm saying you couldn't hear much in the press box because it's so insulated in terms of sound. But that can't be the spirit of roughing. I don't think it was by the letter of the law roughing. I think it sort of looked to the official like it was sort of out of hand. And maybe the way Yannick sort of brought him down, it maybe looked like roughing. But that was not roughing, and he got – a sack taken away from him incorrectly. Too bad for Yannick because he did nothing wrong on the play.
All right. And that'll do it for our show here on a Monday morning. Don't forget tonight, Mellow Mushroom in Avondale, Jaguars All Access. If it wasn't enough that Calais Campbell is there, we didn't even mention the fact that he has a franchise record 12 and a half sacks right now. I think he personally is probably going to end up with 15. He's that strong as we come down the stretch here. Leonard Fournette will be his guest with Brent Martineau and Jeff Lagerman. So make it for that this evening, 7 o'clock on CBS 47 and over in Avondale. Of course, we'll be back with you Friday morning with a head coach, Jags Drive Time, Friday, 8:30, right here on TuneIn Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Jags 8-4, tied for first place in the AFC South. It's going to be a good week as we get ready for Seattle.